Okay, let's pray. Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So right now I'm here at my parents', but my boyfriend is out being an essential worker in New York for the month. Conspiracy or coincidence, he conveniently left right before my surgery and is coming back conveniently right after my recovery. So right now we're on Zoom a lot. And the other day we were on a Zoom call when his brother called, and this is the conversation between them that ensued. Bro, I just got the sweetest car battery from Batteries Plus. It's epic. Bro, no way. Bro, you know Optima? Okay, aside, who knows the brand names of car batteries? Yeah, well, Optima moved their manufacturing to Mexico and dropped the lead percentage. Apparently, unbeknownst to me, there's lead in batteries. No way, dude. Yeah, man. And the guy at Batteries Plus told me that when they moved to Mexico, part of the company broke off, and that part is now making these epic batteries that are 99% lead, 750 cold cranking amps, and a 5-year warranty. How much did it cost you, bro? Haha, a lot. Nice, dude. But yeah, I just get Walmart's battery, lifetime warranty. But bro, that's made overseas. Mine was made in America and it's marine grade. So if I go in a lake, the car still runs. Okay. Now that Batteries Plus salesman did a number on my boyfriend's brother, but this is a conversation all of us have all of the time. What is worth it? What will get the job done? 750 cold cranking amps. What's quality? 99% lead. What's morally good? American made. Definitely not Walmart. We have these conversations because, like it or not, we're limited. We don't have limitless money for a water heater or college or limitless energy for 10 after-school activities or 10,000 job applications, so we have to choose. In ways big and small, we're trying to figure out how we can maximize what we've been given so that we can live good lives. Naomi and her husband, Elimelech, have had to make one of those hard calls. And it wasn't just about what kind of a detergent is the best detergent for the price. Naomi and Elimelech are facing a limited resource of one of the most fundamental types, food. There is a famine in Judah. The promised land isn't flowing with milk and honey any longer. So they decide to leave Judah for Moab, which is about 40, 50 miles away. Was their decision to leave their homeland, Judah, for Moab desperate? Maybe, probably. It definitely wasn't choice number one. See, Moab isn't the 99% lead battery. Moab is the Walmart battery. And I say that specifically because many of us here are probably morally opposed to shopping at places like Walmart, places that don't pay fair wages to their workers and hurt small businesses. Moab was morally suspect like Walmart. In fact, God had forbidden the Jewish people from intermarrying with them and the other surrounding countries. Moabites were not American made. Naomi and Elimelech not only moved to Moab, their sons marry Moabite women, Orpah and Ruth. If Naomi and her husband Elimelech were looking for quality wives for their sons, dependable wives, wives who would have raised their children in a godly culture, Moabite women should not have been it. You wonder what the people back home would have said about Naomi's daughters-in-laws. The raised eyebrows. The silent questions. But you know whose eyebrow isn't raised? The Bible's. There isn't a mumbling word said about Ruth and Orpah being Moabites. And I have no answer for this. And I love that I have no answer for this. Because life doesn't have hard and fast rules like, don't marry a Moabite and you'll live long and prosper. Life has rules. And then sometimes the very best decisions are the ones that fly straight in the face of those rules. If you have a need, let God meet it. If you're hungry, go to Moab. If you're hungry and it's the Sabbath, pick the grain. As Mary Oliver says, and I've quoted this before, but it is so good, you do not have to be good. You do not have to walk on your knees for 100 miles through the desert repenting. You only have to let the soft animal of your body love what it loves. If you are hungry, go find food. If you are thirsty, go find water. If you are in need of love, don't worry too much about the packaging it comes in, if it comes from Moab or not. See, Naomi and her family, they're playing by a different calculus. It's a calculus of survival, yes, of finding a way where there is no way, but there's also something else there. And we start to get the picture after Naomi and her daughters-in-law are all widowed. Naomi is going back to Bethlehem, and she insists that the two women return back to their families. She asks her daughters-in-law, what does a postmenopausal woman with no career and no spouse have to offer these two? She has no economic prospects for them, no romantic prospects, no family prospects, no security at all. And yet, both of her daughters-in-law weep at the thought of leaving her. Think about how loving Naomi must have been toward her Moabite daughters-in-law that they weep at the thought of possibly separating from her. First of all, this completely turns over our cultural stereotypes of daughters-in-law and mothers-in-law at odds with one another. And second, Ruth then decides to go with her. Ruth, still young enough to bear children, still young enough to return home, still young enough to start again, instead chooses Naomi. This is a non-traditional family. It's a family of two, and not a family of two like a young newlywed family of two. Ruth and Naomi are two single women, one old, one young. They're not blood related. They're not romantically attached. And yet I'm not sure if there's a more pure example of family in the whole of the Bible, because isn't this what family should be about? Love. You know, I'm going to tip my hand here. This is what I think the book of Ruth is about. Love. It's about love and devotion. Love that is a free choosing that creates family out of nothingness. Love that gives birth to joy. Ruth loves Naomi. And that love changes their calculus of survival. It changes the calculus of survival for two vulnerable, poor women. Actually, it's more like love is the calculus of survival for these women. Turns out that all of our human shrewdness and calculation and strategy is basic arithmetic compared to love. Love just operates at a different level, at a level that makes profound sense, even as it flies in the face of what is conventionally a smart decision, what is rational, and what is known to give security. Think about 1 Corinthians chapter 13. If I speak in the tongues of men and angels, but do not have love, I'm a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries, or if I have faith that can move mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give everything I own to the poor, but do not have love, I gain nothing. Love is God's calculus. This is the divine recipe for making something out of nothing. Love. Without love, we are, have, and gain nothing. Ruth and Naomi might not have anything that the world sees will be security and new life, but they have something else, something that's more costly than gold or silver. They trust one another. It's like the Beatles say, all you need is love. Do, 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 do. All you need is love, love. Love is all you need. All you need is love doesn't mean that good critical thinking about gender and class and race and sexuality aren't needed. All you need is love doesn't mean that we don't look at the injustices of the world and work toward justice. But what it does mean is that there is a deeper logic to the world, that there is something that is stronger than racism and sexism and homophobia and ableism and classism. Truly, there is something stronger. Naomi found it. Ruth found it. Boaz found it. All you need is love means that there is a stronger logic and a deeper wisdom and a more powerful force than X plus Y equals Z. Then Moabite plus wife equals ungodly. Then leaving your family plus being a young single woman equals a disaster. I don't know if any of you have been watching The Crown on Netflix, so fun, but there is this great scene in the latest season. Princess Diana goes on her first solo engagement, and it's to New York City. While she's there, she visits a hospital ward for children with AIDS. There's a boy who's African American, and he has AIDS. Princess Diana picks him up and hugs him. And if you don't know how radical that would have been in 1989, you should watch a documentary on the AIDS pandemic. The director of the ward at the time, Dr. Hegarty, reflected in this article. She said, Princess Diana did it spontaneously, but she also did the human thing. He was 5 or 6 years old, and she just picked him up and hugged him. The article says, Princess Diana's visits to the shelter and the city's first neonatal AIDS ward could have come off as tone deaf, the cloistered royal crossing the pond to gaze down upon the poor. But it wasn't. Her visit was overwhelmingly positive, had good, warm connection. One Black woman who is the daughter of the pediatric unit said, just to be frank, this white woman wanted to hold these Black babies that certain Black people wouldn't hold. It was something that taught me about being a human and being kind and caring about other people. Love transforms. It's a formula so advanced, it can dismantle power and privilege. It is the dismantling of power and privilege. So how does the book of Ruth end? The book of Ruth ends with Naomi holding Ruth's son in her arms. It ends with new life. It ends with joy. There is a second life for these two women, truly a second existence after their first life has died and been buried. And what's got the job done? What was worth it? What led to goodness and peace and ultimately joy? Love. The love of these two women for one another. Now hear these words from Matthew. And Boaz was the father of Obed, and Obed's mother was Ruth, and Obed was the father of Jesse, and Jesse the father of King David, and so on and so forth, until Jacob was the father of Joseph, the husband of Mary, and Mary was the mother of Jesus, who is called the Messiah. In a limited world, love does more than we can ask or imagine. It gives birth to futures we can and cannot see. It's the calculus that brings us through. Amen.